Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, my elder.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Fantastic. We're continuing to talk about the nature of humanity, which is one of the fundamental beliefs of the SDA Church. Now, the broken world we live in today is a long way from the perfection of Eden. So how did it fall apart? The answer lies in our ability to choose. It was the abuse of free will God granted us. And so we've got to be talking about that. Now, Elder, why would God place a deadly tree? I'm calling it deadly, a tree in the middle of Eden, which is a paradise. Why plant a tree and tell them not to even touch it? I mean, isn't that a trap?
You know, when God first created human beings, he gave them, you know, many gifts. And the Garden of Eden was one of those gifts. And the Garden of Eden was intended to be a place of blessings for humanity. Now, all the creatures were peaceful at that time, and they were, you know, food was in abundance. God gave the trees that gave fruits, and it was a blessing to be in the Garden of Eden. And you know, if he wanted this race of beings to like truly love him and accept him and love it and give love towards him, they must be able to choose him. And in order to be able to choose, you need to have a choice. So a choice must exist for you to be able to choose. And you know, the Bible in Genesis 2, verse 16 to 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day of it you shall surely die." So, like what you are asking, you're saying, like, what was a deadly tree like this doing in Eden's paradise? Why would God, who created everything, intentionally plant a tree that would kill Adam and Eve if they ate from it? So it's a difficult question, and you know, the best answer that we can find is that the existence of this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, was so that humanity could learn to exercise their free will. Because the presence of that tree wasn't a trap. It wasn't even much of a temptation, because they had so many pleasing options for food within the garden. But this tree showed that human beings were not slaves to God. And if they wanted to, they had a choice to turn from him and walk in a different path. And walk in a different path, because the path that God had instructed them to walk in obedience is the path that leads to the creator and sustainer of life. And if they choose otherwise, they would be choosing death. Now, unfortunately, we all know the story that Adam and Eve, they allowed themselves to be talked out of obeying God's warnings, and they were tricked by the devil. So they fell for Satan's deceptions, and by eating of this fruit, they committed the first sin, choosing self over God. But it, you know, it wasn't the fruit itself that corrupted Adam and Eve. It was the decision behind it. So by disobeying God's command, Adam and Eve, they were actually like claiming that they didn't need him. So instead of trusting God, and who knew what was best for them, they thought that they knew what was best for themselves. So in summary, I can say that the tree represented the possibility of free will and the choice to obey or disobey God. So it was a test of love and trust. And Adam and Eve had to choose to either remain dependent on God's wisdom or to pursue their own way. So it's not inherently evil, the tree, but rather the decision to eat from it reflected rebellion.
Interesting. And God knew about that decision before he even put that tree to test their loyalty, not so?
Yes, he did. Like I say, for you to be able to... it's like, for example, if I give you a dog that's a robot, It is programmed to act in a certain way, to love you, because that is how it's programmed. But if you truly want to experience love and affection, the one that you want to experience that love and affection from must be able to choose, have another option. You know, so God did put the tree there, and it was a test of their loyalty and allegiance and love towards the Creator.
Right. Now, did Adam and Eve really understand the gravity of their decision when they chose to disobey God? I mean, considering they had never seen death, did they even understand what it means to actually surely die?
You know, when asking that question, like, did Adam and Eve, like, fully understand the decision that they made? We first need to, like, look at, like, when we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, we see that God gave Adam a direct command not to eat from that tree, and God warned him that disobedience would lead to death. So in that sense, they knew the choice had serious consequences. However, when you look at Genesis 3, we see that, okay, the serpent deceives Eve. And the serpent makes her believe that eating the fruit wouldn't lead to death, but instead would give them, you know, like, more wisdom and make them like God. And that deception complicated their understanding, causing them to doubt what God had said. Now, additionally to that, like, Adam and Eve, they were in a state of moral innocence before the fall. They had no experience with sin, as you and I have. They had no experience with evil. So while they understood the command, they may not have fully grasped the profound consequences of this disobedience. And, you know, the idea of death, the idea of separation from God might not have been, you know, clear to them when they made the decision. But after they ate the fruit, the Bible says their eyes were opened and they came to understand the difference between good and evil. So for me, this suggests that their awareness of the seriousness of their sin only came after the act. So while they understood that they were disobeying God, it seems like they didn't fully comprehend the full spiritual and eternal consequences of their decisions until after it was too late.
Man, quite unfortunate that they would get into that without really, you know, understanding, you know, the consequences of their decisions. Now, how did their decision, unfortunately, they didn't understand it, but how did it affect humanity's communication with the Creator then?
You know, when we look at this story, we see that, you know, Adam and Eve's decision, their decision, that one act of disobedience, the strong bond between God and humanity was broken. That communication, you know, just a day before, they were probably like, they used to walk with God in the cool of the day, but all of a sudden they're hiding from God. Now, when God's presence was withdrawn, you know, sin, because God is a God of love, he's a righteous God, and light and darkness can't be in the same place. So when God's presence was withdrawn, sin entered, and much like, you know, when darkness fills a room when the light is turned off. So by eating the fruit, mankind did learn what it meant to know, like, you know, good and evil, just as a serpent claimed. But without God's presence in their heart, sin and selfishness began to dominate human nature. And this led to a world that we live in, a world of disaster and separation from God. So before the fall, Adam and Eve, they enjoyed a kind of like direct, intimate fellowship with God. But their disobedience brought sin in their lives, creating a spiritual distance between them and the Creator. So sin not only distorts the human nature, but it also disrupts our relationship with the Holy God. And because of this, that direct access to God's presence was no longer possible, that face-to-face communication. But despite, you know, this humanity's disobedience, God's love and desire for communication never changed. So that's why you see throughout history, God communicated with humanity in three primary ways. He made covenants with people like Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, to guide his people and to reveal his plan of redemption. He also sent prophets to call his people back to repentance, to remind them of his promises. And ultimately, you know, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to restore what was broken. And through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we as humanity were given a way back to God, offering that reconciliation and restoring that relationship. So that's why you see in Revelation, it says that we will see God face to face, and he'll wipe away all our tears. Yeah. And that relationship, open communication, will be restored. So in summary, like the fall, yes, it created a separation between God and humanity, mm-hmm. but God's plan to restore this relationship, you know, unfolded through covenants or prophets, and ultimately through Christ, God's redemptive work reveals his justice, his love, and his wish to have that communication face to face with us.
Mm-hmm. Now, why have their action tainted all of us? I mean, they sinned, and they should have faced their consequences, of course. But now, we didn't touch the tree. We were not there either. We have no idea what happened. In fact, we don't even know where this place was. Why are we affected by all this?
Remember, we all have one. Our parents or our the origin, like humanity, originated from Adam and Eve, and because sin came into the world through them, unfortunately, sin has passed on down to us as humanity, and we unfortunately have a sinful nature because of that initial sin that they committed in the garden. However, God knew to say that, you know, in the plan of redemption, he had a plan to ultimately redeem us, and not redeem us, but fill us with his Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, he would sanctify us and bring us back to a point where we can reflect God's character again. And eventually, once he takes us to heaven, we will be able to have that restored relationship. So it's when you look at the bigger picture, yes, individually, we might ask, why do I have to suffer for the sins of Adam and Eve? But when you look at the bigger picture, when you look at the question that was asked in heaven, is God a God of love? We see that we were all part of this plan of God. Humanity was part of this plan to ultimately one day decide. Remember, the Bible says that we will judge angels in heaven. And one day we will say, you know what, we've experienced both sides of the coin. We've lived in a world that is full of sin under the rulership of Satan. But at the same time, we've experienced God's grace and his love and his redemptive power. And we can truly say that God is a God of love because he paid for our sins. And then the argument will be over. So we are like the third party in this controversy that will decide, you know, who is right and who was wrong. So unfortunately, we are caught up in this, but God has a plan for us.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying, but let's wrap it up, my elder. What do the actions of the first couple tell us about the weight of our choices?
You know, when we think of the actions that Adam and Eve took, for them, it was something that was small. It was something that they didn't realize would cause so much harm and damage and would be passed down to so many generations. And when you look at the world today, it is not an Eden. It is not a paradise. It's a place of pain, a place of suffering, a place where you sometimes wonder, you know, why life continues, you know. So in our personal lives, we shouldn't take sin for granted, because the sin is ultimately the disregard or the breaking of God's law. And sin, the punishment of sin is death. So whenever we are faced with the situation of temptation to break God's law, we must always think back to what happened with Adam and Eve and think how our sin will not just affect ourselves, but might affect our children and those to follow. So we must always look at it in that way. No sin is too small.
True. No sin is too small. My elder, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's a pleasure to have you on board. Thank you so much. And we're going to be connecting with you one more time tomorrow.
Amen. Thank you, my brother, for having me.
Amen. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.